We've been learning about the ghost that lives in us when we got saved. We've been learning how to listen and hear his voice. And one of the easiest way is through his written word. Amen? And we know that Proverbs says it like this. In Proverbs 29, verse 18, it says, without prophetic revelation, yours may say without vision, the people are destroyed. The rendering there in the Hebrew is they cast off restraint. Another back then, which I don't believe it's any difference, when we don't have direction or we don't have a plan of where we're going, we cast off restraints. Now, the definition of a restraint is a condition that keeps someone under control or within limits. Another definition of restraint is an action of keeping self under control. So as God knew it was very important for the children of Israel through the Old Covenant, he knows it's important for us to not be out of control. And we're not talking about being radical for Jesus, because that's in control. We're talking about being carnal, being fleshly. So he's put things into motion. In fact, in Habakkuk 2, it says it like this. As you enter into this phase, write your vision. Make it plain. Put it in big, bold letters, it says, so that when you see it, you can run. How many know that when you're running, you need to have it pretty big so you can see it? Because it says it's for appointed time. See, many of you today have been standing in the gap. You've been believing God for breakthroughs. I believe 2019 is a year of breakthrough.
Yes.
Because we're learning how to implement what's already ours.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, just a little knowledge, those that are tuning in from Facebook and so forth. When you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you got the ghost. You got the kingdom. You got the power within. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You got everything that pertains to life and godliness. Now listen to me, you got it all. No, you didn't get a baby Holy Ghost. You got the full package. And with that full package, you got everything you need. And the reason why so many don't operate in the fullness is because they don't understand what they have, because if they did, they'd have to implement what they already have so they get the fruit of what's already yours. So today, I want to encourage you along these lines. And I want to ask you a question as we start. At the end of 2019, how many in here could raise their hand and say, I want to be spiritually stronger? Almost everyone. How many would say at the end of 2019, I'd like to be physically stronger, healthier? Well, it looks like I'm speaking to the right group today. Because I believe that God has given us what we need to become a better me. Now, if you're with your spouse this morning, before we go any further, would you look to them? And I'm going to have you say this to them. I'm going to stop trying to change you. I'm going to focus on being a better me. I can change me. Amen. Now, if you've ever tried, and I've had a lot of years of experience, the only way and the only person you can really change is yourself. I'm speaking to yourselves today. Don't look at your spouse or your kids or your brothers or sisters or others in the church, but look at yourself. You told me you want to be a better you. You want to be stronger spiritually. You want to be stronger physically. Now, let me give you a key tool that many of you have heard before. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing you've been doing over and over and over again with the idea that you're going to get different results. You heard that, right? That's insanity. If we keep doing the same things over and over and over again and we're expecting different results, the world calls that insanity. But God says you're missing out because he's got something really big and really great. There's a book that was passed into my life a few years ago that I pass it into others, and you've heard me talk about it many times. It's Who Moved the Cheese? And it talks about how hard it is for change. We get stuck in a rut, And the illustration of the book is the mice that they trained to find the cheese through the maze, and they went on the same path over and over and over again to get to the cheese. They moved the cheese, and the mice began to starve to death because they kept going the same way over and over again and never getting the food that they needed because they would not change.
Amen.
And yet, we're in this maze that God has given us everything, and we keep doing the same things over and over again and wondering why we don't get different results. The good news is we're going to do different things and become stronger. And become mighty men and women of valor. If you have your Bibles, the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Turn to it, if you wouldn't mind, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to just lay out what I already challenged you with this morning, and I'm going to pick it up with the last two verses. Verse 19 says this. This was Paul to the Christians in Corinth, and he's telling them, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost who is in you?" Where's the ghost live?
In us.
"Whom you have from who?" God. "You are not your own." That's pretty awesome. Everybody in here got the ghost given to us freely from God when we made him Lord of our lives. "You were bought with a price, therefore glorify." Everybody say glorify. In other words, glorify, make it known, make it seen, make it have the fruit. We heard the word from the Lord today, the fruit. Glorify God in your body and in your what? Spirit. What became brand new when you got saved? The Spirit. You become a new creation. Your flesh still is going to look the same. If you're 5'10", you're still going to be 5'10". If you were a certain level of arithmetic or geometry, you're going to be at that level. Now, once we get this brand new spirit connected with the ghost, now we work on getting our minds and getting our bodies changed. We get it renewed, we implement the principles, and we get the fruit of the principles. It's laid out, and that's why he says we get everything that pertains to life and godliness through God. But the thing is, I want you to see here, there's two parts that God wants strengthened. The spirit and the flesh. Because how many know if the flesh isn't up to snuff, it's hard to be spiritual? This earth suit that God blessed us with is what keeps us on earth. When this earth suit isn't up to snuff, when I say snuff, isn't feeling good, isn't operating good, you're not real spiritually effective to others if you can't get around in your earth suit. That's why Paul told the Corinthians. He told young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he said this. It says, "Physical exercise profiteth little. Godliness or spiritual things prospers us in all areas." Now listen. He says, "Physical exercise profiteth us little." Do you know that to us human beings, 1,000 years is a lot? But do you know to the Lord it's as one day? So a little to the Lord is a whole lot to us. So when it says that physical exercise profits us little, that's big. That's not just a little dabble, do you? That means he's given us everything so that we can stay strong and healthy, but he gives us the truth that we have to implement. A tree is known by its fruit. We're known by what we saturate ourselves. Paul is telling Timothy that they both need to prosper. He tells the Corinthians that you got to build up the spirit and you got to build up the flesh. We have a responsibility. If we're going into 2019 and you're going to be better used, then we have to look at areas that we can better ourselves. Pastor Mike is starting a group thing afterwards, and there's a video he's going to show, and I've seen it. It's excellent. Arthur's transformation, and I hope as many of you can check it, but it just shows a hopeless situation that turns around when people change what they've been told by doctors, what they've been told by others, and implement the truth, because the truth is what makes us what?
Free.
So we see this dimension, and we understand that this is how it goes. Because do you got the same Holy Ghost that I got? You don't have a baby one, right? Do you have the same fruit with your ghost as I get? called the fruit of the Spirit. Do you know that with the fruit, when you get the ghost, you get the fruit? You get the love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness. Let me stop right there. Do you know that when you blow up and you got to swear at somebody and you say, well, I don't have that. It goes on, it says you've got self-control. You got all of these things through who?
Holy Spirit.
The ghost that brought them to you. So nobody in this room has excuse to say, well, I just couldn't control myself. I just had to poop and do this. No, you can, because I used to, people used to say, oh, Pastor, you're just so disciplined. You just have so much self-control. And then I realized, no, you don't. You're just using that as an escape for you not to have self-control. And the ghost brings it. So everybody in here is on equal terms. You got the same self-discipline. You got the same gentleness. So when you say, well, I get behind slow drivers, I just feel like flipping them off. That's not the ghost in you. And you got the strength not to. You got the ability to do what is right, not because you have to, but because you get to. I don't drink, smoke, and have the vices because it's going to keep me out of heaven. I don't do those things because I get to not have to do those things. So I can stay as effective as I possibly can because I'm going to spend eternity in heaven, but it's down here. I want to be a blessing to others. And if I'm not able to maintain, how can I help anybody else? This week we were limited on the pastors that can make it out, and you need to pray for the pastors of the city because they're dealing with all kinds of issues, and a lot of them is health issues. And nobody can change them but them. You got to realize, you can pray for others, but you can't change others because they've got to be willing to change themselves. So, if we realize that, we got the same fruit. That means we all got self-discipline. I need you here to say, I got self-discipline. No excuses. All right. Praise God. Now listen, here's the typical Christian. Well, let me just say, a typical Christian is not going to have to swim the English Channel. The typical Christian is not going to have to climb Mount Everest. The typical Christian is not going to have to train up and be an astronaut and land on the moon. Now, all those things would be a possibility, but what I'm saying, I'm speaking to typical Christians. A typical Christian faces heartache, trouble, discouragement, and even failure at times. Oh, no, Pastor, that's speaking death. That's the reality of what believers face. Now, what we do with what we face is determined by us. He's already given us the tools to do what's right, but he doesn't make us do what's right, but he encourages us to do what's right. That's what Paul told Timothy. That's what Paul told the Corinthians. And that's what we're supposed to be as men and women of God. Encourage people to change themselves. But you aren't going to change them if they don't choose to change themselves. So, this is what David. We like to study David in the Bible. He was a man after whose heart? Was David a perfect person?
No.
Committed adultery, committed murder. He even acted like a lunatic at one time so they wouldn't kill him. And remember, he was slobbering from his mouth. Oh, blah, blah. That sounds like somebody, if God says he has a heart after me, it looks like we're in good company. But he had a tool that he learned that I think we need to grab a hold of. When he was hearing the chants, Saul kills the thousands, but David kills the 10,000, he really got built pretty good. In fact, Saul got jealous. But all of a sudden, the Amalekites attacked his villages, stole all his wives, and he had two at the time, stole all his children, all the men, all the cattle. And if that wasn't worse, the people that were cheering him killing the 10,000s wanted to stone him. That sounds like a bad day. And most typical Christians, if they're not equipped on realizing that they're overcomers, could fall into, oh no, Oh my gosh, everything is coming against me. David could have just cloistered away in a corner of a cave. Oh, it's the end of me. They're going to stone me. I might as well face my reality. But no. It says in 1 Samuel 30, 1 through 6, it says, when this happened, he encouraged himself in the Lord. He took what the tools he had, and I'm telling you, we got better tools than David had, because the covenant that we got is the whole ghost himself that lives in us. And he encouraged himself in the Lord. How do you encourage yourself? You declare and you know that I can do all things through Christ because I've got God himself living in me. Amen. And there's nothing I've gone through or going through that I can't get through.
Amen.
Not because of me, but because of who lives in me. So if I'm going to be a better me, I'm tapping into the one that's going to help me be better. Because the essence of it is this, church. If you're just into yourself, that's great. You'll get to heaven. But you really, I believe you come to show the faith, you get to a place that's not just about you anymore. And I'm not comparing anything. I'm just telling you. People that plug in and stay long come to this place. I don't want to just get better for me. I want to help set others free. I want to be all I can be so when people see me, they see Jesus. And they want what I got because what I got is real. Yeah, it's the ghost, but it's the ghost getting out of us. Out of our belly starts flowing rivers of life. That's what we got to get to. We got to get to such a place that we encourage ourselves in the Lord. We stir ourselves up. And if you got areas in your life that you still struggle, if you still get mad at people, if you still want to curse people, if you still want to be stupid, encourage yourself and get beyond that. Because you can do all things through the God that lives in you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Habakkuk, I read that out of, but the actual word Habakkuk means to embrace. The prophet of God had to embrace what God was giving him when he was instructing the children of God to write your vision. Let the people get to see what they're believing for. I'm telling you, we're in 2019, but if you haven't determined what you want to do to better yourself, you're not going to have anything to go to. You're not going to have any place to look to, and you're going to stay in the same rut you've been in, and you're going to miss out on so much. So let's address those two major areas. If we want to be better me's, number one, we have to be better spiritually me's. Amen? When my wife and I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost many, many years ago, we did. We shut our TVs off. Some people say, oh, that was bondage or something. That wasn't bondage to us because we dove into the Word of God. We devoured it. We'd sit and have quizzes with each other. We'd try to see who knew what. And we strengthened ourselves. If you're going to have the ghost remind you what Jesus said, you got to know what he said. Because he's not going to remind you of something you don't know. You know it because you got your mind renewed because you got in there. So you have to be students of the Word. Now, I'm going to tell you that when we first started, and I found this, and I'm going to throw this out, and those that are watching, I find very few people can stay encouraged by themselves. That's why you see that when we used to work out at different places, we worked at what was the one they called Four Flags, and we'd always look forward 2 months after the start of the year, we'd be just a few people would still be going on. Good intentions doesn't get the job done. You've got to have a purpose and you've got to have it written down. You got to know where you're going and then you got to go there.
Amen.
And when you go there, you got to implement some things to get there, but you got to keep it. And we call that a way of life. But this is what we used to do. We grabbed and we'd read through the Bible in a year. We had something that would chart off. We'd check off. Okay, we read that. Some of it was really boring. But it didn't matter. We were obtaining knowledge and understanding of what the Word says. And then we begin to just seek out. And we would be, yeah, we'd be in church. Church is a good place. But I'm telling you what, if your only spiritual feeding is in church, you're missing out. Let me tell you why you're missing out. Because I may be an ear, you may be an eye, someone else is a foot, but all the parts are not operating in this church service today because it's an impossibility. We're not a huge church, but we still are too big to have everybody being operated in their own gifts. So what we encourage is you get into relationships with smaller groups so you get to know one another and you learn from one another. Nobody learns alone. Because whatever part of the body you are, you're not the other parts, but you need the other parts to get stronger. Good. I stand as pastor of Shield of Faith to tell you that if I didn't surround myself with others that see things in a little bit different light, I would not be as strong as I am, because it's not just about me, but it's about us. And there's an onslaught.
Well, I don't get into Bible study because it's not like what I want, or it doesn't meet my needs and whatever. I'm thinking that's probably the reason you should be in one, because you need to get beyond yourself and get into hearing what maybe somebody else has that maybe you need to apply to yourself to be stronger.
Amen. I'm talking to you that want to better yourself. Come on. I'm talking about you that want to get spiritually stronger. You can't get it just coming to church. Right. Now listen to me, church. I'm not discouraging you to come to church. This is celebration. Now, yes, people get saved coming to church, but this is not the primary place people get saved. They get saved at your workplace. They get saved in your neighborhood. They get saved when you run into people. Why? Because you got the Savior in the presence of the Ghost that lives in you, and where you go, He goes. If we want to make a difference on our job, we should be known as godly people on the job, not because we're carrying a big Bible and we're telling people how spiritual we are by our Bible. No, we should be living epistles. Our lives should demonstrate the Lord. Amen. And so our kids see that, so their lives demonstrate the Lord. I remember ministering on that Fellowship of Christian Athletes, this high school that I taught in. And I remember one particular person used to carry his Bible in a post-toasties box. I'm not even sure they even sell posts. I says, you don't have to carry that. Well, you don't have to come across weird. You need to come across caring, but not weird. There's enough weirdness out there. But thank God he kept coming and he kept studying, kept learning. But the point is, church, you hear what I'm saying, right? You should be a living epistle. But how can you be a living epistle if you don't know what it says? You know, one of the biggest detriments of people not wanting to hook up to a cell group is because they're afraid people will find out they don't know that much. Or they don't read that good. And I always tell guys that hook up to our ministry, you don't have to read if you don't want to read. And you know what? We all start at some place. So if you don't know much, get over it. Because how are you going to know more if you don't change not knowing much? But you don't know my schedule. I don't know your schedule, but I'm talking to you that want to be better yous. You work through. You find ways to get together and to grow with one another. You know what I tell Pastor Mike all the time? The only way this church is going to grow is you develop relationships with people. Because now listen, I'm going to be honest with you. You may think I'm a good pastor or a good preacher. You might think our worship team just has beautiful worship music. But the two of those won't keep people. What keeps people is they develop relationships with others. If you're on the edge and you haven't developed a relationship with others in that flock, you ain't going to last long. Because that doesn't keep you. Oh, yeah, I just want to get the word. That's all I need. You've missed out. The Bible says the disciples of early prospered because they koinonia'd. They were cemented together. They made a point of getting to know one another. And I understand circumstances and jobs and schedules and all that make it sometimes difficult. But the Lord never said it would be easy to find a way to get with others. And if you look for just reasons so you don't have to connect, you might as well not connect. I'm talking about growing up spiritually. And you know the other thing is, folks, you need to have regular dialogue with your God. We call that prayer. The reason why we pray every day from 12 to 1 here is because I'm going to pray. Used to do the night thing. We get very few people come, and I said, hey, you know what? I'm in this for the long haul. I'm going to do it when it's convenient for me because I'm going to be here. Oh, yeah, we pray for you all. If this is your church, you're on there. We pray for you. We pray for your prayer needs. But you guys got to get a relationship with the King of Kings. A few years ago, there was a movie came out, The War Room. Oh, I'm going to make a war room. And they purposed to do it. Where are the war rooms of today? Are they still out there? I hope so. Because it's a place that you can get away and have dialogue with your Savior and get to know the ghost that lives in you, let alone Abba Daddy.
Someone says, I don't like you calling it the ghost.
You might not like me saying Abba Daddy, but he's my Abba Daddy. And he's my Jesus the Christ. And I got to learn and know, because I haven't arrived. I want more at the end of the year. I raise my hand. I want to be spiritually stronger. It's not just going to happen on my own. I have an advantage because I am in the Word every day because I'm preparing to hear from the ghost and what will help you all. And if anybody's ever taught someplace or whatever, you know, you gear up, you learn the Word. But I'm telling you, that's how it needs to be, something so you're gearing up to be used during the week. I'm going to challenge couples. You need to have you need to set aside a time. Every morning we wake up, have our coffee, and just fellowship. My wife gets mad, and I get mad at her. We're at this place. Get that phone out of here. Because you know how it, You got to make some sacrifices. Do you want to have a relationship or not? You got to set aside time, a devotional time. When you are together. I thank God that I couldn't. As I grew up, my mom and dad wouldn't let us eat. We had to wait till the whole family was there, and we couldn't break bread until we prayed. Nowadays, people think that's crazy. That's not crazy. That's setting priorities.
Amen.
That's making the Lord the priority of your meal, and that's your prayer. Well, you can't reduce. Oh, you're looking at me like, oh, I didn't do that. It's okay. Today's brand new. You said you want to get better. We want a better you, not yesterday you, but tomorrow you. I love every time I watch these guys at the end of the service, the Larsons up here, they grab all their family, they get together, and whatever the prayer is, they're praying as a family. I don't know what's going on. I never really asked you, but it's blessed me. And I haven't seen Josh object, whether he's got his Michigan hat on, you got your Notre Dame or what. And Bella, oh my gosh, they just smash in. And they pray and they agree and they're a family. A family that prays together, stays together. But if it's not a priority and it's just, we're all busy. It's just, what are we busy with? Prayer, the Word. I'm encouraging you to make both. Surround your lives with healthy influences. PK and I many times are invited to be with families with kids because they love how we interact with one another. That's what it's all about. Seeing real life people live. Now, I had somebody this week tell me, oh, you don't know my husband. He doesn't act like he does at church when we're home. I says, well, let me just stop you. My wife is always challenging me. Hey, act like the pastor. Come on. Knock that off. You're right. Hopefully, when you come here, we get to see the best of you. This is celebration time. When you're out in the trenches, you got to work through things. And anybody that says that they don't, Jesus is waiting for you. We all got challenges. PK and I know everything's just piece of cake. Anybody that hangs with us, anybody that's gone out with us, see us going at it all the time. But it's a healthy way. Amen? Look at that sweet girl. I mean, how could anybody go at it with her? Amen. So, I'm an advocate at Way of Life Changes. I am not an advocate of going on diets or short-term things that you're setting yourself up to be disappointed. Everybody look at me. Proven fact. Every habit that you start today is going to take you 21 days to break that old habit. If you got a habit of all you want to do is put down yourself a bunch of junk and you break that and start eat healthy and so forth, 21 days and all of a sudden you're going to realize, wow, I look forward for the good stuff. You can break it. But guess what? During that time, there's going to be all kinds of temptations because your head is going to tell you junk, junk, junk. And your body is going to tell you junk, junk, junk. But if you're determined, I am going to get healthier this year, then you've got to determine to take some steps that are going to cause you to be healthier this year. And that's why I don't tell people what I do, because I don't want you to do what I do, because what I do works for us. But you need to do what works for you. Please do not get into bondage. And don't set yourself up for depression. I'm going to lose 100 pounds in 2 months. You might as well get that plane ticket to the moon. I'm not saying it's impossible, but that's not realistic. You take one little step. It's kind of like Christian Law Association, we're connected with, we support. It's a ministry that's given to Christians to help keep them legal. And we've had them since we've been a church. We would go to their conferences and we'd sit in there and I would see my team of overseers being overwhelmed. Oh my gosh, we're not doing half that stuff. And then the leader would get up there, bless his heart, says, hey, relax. You that are here are doing more today than most people are doing. Don't get overwhelmed with all that you're not doing, but start just doing a little at a time. And we'll help you as you have needs. So we begin to set up. How do we train up our nursery workers? How do we have criminal checks? How do we make sure we're doing this? Because immediately, oh my gosh, we're going to go under. We can't do all this and we're not doing all this. And all of a sudden, just be peaceful. Whatever you're doing is more than what you were doing. And as you continuously do more things right, you're doing less things wrong. So the moment you implement something in your life to physically be healthy, whether it's exercise, my wife, she knows I can't change her, she can't change me. But when she had some crisis happening to her not too long ago because she wasn't, let's say, eating right, and she wasn't necessarily doing her exercise, she determined. And she stirred herself up and began to implement. And begin. I'm a firm believer. Pastor Mike would tell you here, you need to, if you're concerned about cutting back, cutting weight, you need to track it every day for the rest of your life. I got a chart in my basement, years old. Every time I work out, I put the date, I put my weight. I track it. You know why? Because I'm never surprised. Because it's tracked. What people do is they try to ignore things. Oh my gosh, how did this happen to me? It didn't happen overnight. Little by little, you crept back into that place that caused you to not be as healthy as you could be. I'm so proud of this girl. She's fast walking her dogs 20 minutes, two times a day, and then she says, honey, if you'll do this, I'm going to go down and get on my treadmill for such and such. She's been doing it not because I changed her, because so every day I said, well, how was your blood pressure? 120 over 70-something. I said, cool, cool. I'm careful not to say, what was your weight once in a while? But do you see, it happens when you got a plan and you work the plan. Amen. So that at the end of 2019, you're not going to be the same.
Come on.
You're going to feel healthier. You're going to look healthier. You're going to be able to do things. I was thinking this morning as I grabbed my Bible. My last one wore out. The one before that's up here that I keep, that wore out. The pages are all coming out. Wouldn't that be a good thing for all of us that our Bibles wear out? Maybe your phones, if that's how you do it. I'm still old school. Wearing out means you're in it. You're turning pages. You're writing in it. You're highlighting things. You're getting stronger. This one just so happens, I'm kind of partial to New King James version, but I'm in all the different versions at times because sometimes I want to see what it says in the Message or in the New Living Bible or in the Amplify that breaks the Greek words down a little bit more. I want to know my Savior. I want to get stronger. But I have to track it and I have to stay diligent. And if you got to write it down, write it down. If you need a calendar, check off. I was in my Word today. Check off. I prayed today. Because as you do that, you keep yourself faithful. I exercised today. You didn't try to kill yourself. I tell people, I watch these people get on these destructive type of workouts. Oh, 90 minutes of killers. And I tell them, what? They ain't going to stay there because, first of all, they're going to hate it. And after about 2 months, they're going to, oh, my gosh, I can't get motivated to do that. Because you don't. You got to look at something you can do every day for the rest of your life. Walk. Lynn's sitting back there, and she's saying, yeah, Pastor's always encouraging me. Just walk. Just walk. It's good for your heart. It's good for your muscles. Take some little weights. It'll be good for your bone structure. Just do something that's going to change. So at the end of 2019, you're going to come to church and say, wow, I feel so much better, and I feel stronger in the things of God because I did some changes to make me better.
Yes, sir.
Amen? And I challenge those that are listening. Let's determine to make this year be a working year. And let's be better in the things of God. Because you know what? Bettering your physical stuff isn't going to make you love more in heaven. Just any more than you giving in a plate makes you more love. You are loved because God created you, period. These are all things that will help us live the kingdom of heaven on earth as it already is going on in heaven. And I hope you meant it when you turned to your spouses, because you can't change them. You can encourage them. My wife encourages me. I encourage her. But I can't change her. You can't change them. But you can encourage. Come on, honey. Let's make this year be our best year ever. Come on, I'm going to help encourage you. Well, my wife has said, well, will you do this, 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 so I can do this? You got to compromise. Take over some responsibility so you give both an opportunity to get their exercise in. And don't fall into the trap to say, yeah, but I'm over the hill. No, you're not. There's nobody in this room today because you got here that's over the hill. And you can be better you by the end of this year by just doing a little bit more than you've done before. And God bless the senior men that come to the cell group. That all, I says, what blesses me is I still want to grow. I still want to get stronger. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I hope if you take anything out of today, it will be a challenge, a healthy challenge, to take a look at your life and what you do in the course of a day. And ask yourself, with your spouse, if you're married, if you're not, no problem. Ask the ghost, what can I do? What can I realistically do every day to get spiritually stronger? What can I do to get my body in better shape than it is right now? And you know what? He'll tell you. And then chart it. Lay out something that you can keep track. Write your vision. Make it plain so when you see it, you can run with it. For it's for appointed time. And you with no vision, you're going to cast off restraint. God bless you that you're going to keep restraints on in your life because of the Holy Ghost that lives in you. Father God, I lift up every family. I lift up every individual that's come this day and those that are viewing on Facebook. That this be a day, a year of breakthroughs in lives. That this be a year of breakthroughs in families. That they begin to come together and become better thems. And Father, we stand with this flock. And Lord, wherever the weak areas are in their lives, you can strengthen them through the power that lives within them. And we pray and prophesy breakthroughs 2019. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love on one another. Greet one another. Encourage one another. If you need special prayer, the altar's open. You want to know how to gain some weight?